Governor Pritzker has decided to deviate a little from the CDC guidelines and says, you know what, we're going to prioritize prison inmates in the second round of coronavirus vaccinations. It's not without controversy that he's making that determination, that that release has gone out. They updated the Illinois Department of Public Health guidelines, and that's what it says. Prison inmates are in the next round, I believe. Let's hear a little more here from Senate Minority Leader Dan McConkie. He's joining the show. Thank you, Senator. Thanks for joining. How are you doing?
I'm good, Anna. How are you today?
I'm okay. Really interesting issue, and we're already receiving texts from people who say that they don't really like this idea. They don't think it's the right way to go. I know you're in that camp. Tell us what's on your mind on this one.
Well, you know, the governor has said over and over since this crisis has started back in March that his priority is about saving lives. And in this case, what he's actually doing is he's prioritizing healthy prison inmates over those people under age 65 who have high-risk medical conditions, who may be at risk of sickness or even death if they catch COVID-19. And in my book, that's just not wrong. That's immoral.
Yeah, and I mentioned earlier that is your background, right? Tell us a little bit about your background. These are not issues that are new to you to discuss. You've actually studied this. This is part of your academic background.
Yeah, so I studied bioethics issues when I was in grad school. And, you know, I've run into some of these things, both kind of situations within my own family. You know, I have a family member who has lung and heart issues, who, you know, isolates at home. You know, if they were to catch COVID-19, I mean, this could be a death sentence for them. You know, additionally, you know, my wife has a friend who is going through a very aggressive cancer treatment, and she doesn't have the opportunity to isolate at home. She has to go back and forth to the hospital in order to get the chemo treatment, which is lowering her ability to be able to fight the disease. And so in this case, what we're saying is the 20-year-old armed robber or the, you know, 27-year-old murderer who's in prison for life, who's otherwise healthy, is going to get the vaccine first. You know, the CDC came out this past summer and said that people with comorbidities, those with two or more conditions that place them at greater risk of, you know, having very bad illness or death from COVID-19 are 12 times more likely to die than a healthy patient. I mean, if we're going to follow the science, which is what the governor has said, I don't understand why we're not prioritizing these very sick people.
Speaking of the prioritization, Senator, I'm looking here at just some response from our listeners. 219, no, they should not prioritize inmates. They're in a contained area. This is ridiculous. Shame on the governor. Prisoners should be last. Another person says prisoners should not be prioritized. None of us chose this, and we've been in prison, too, at home. When you break laws, there are consequences. You lose rights and privileges. I mean, you don't lose the right to, you know, die of COVID. I mean, dying of COVID or having a severe outcome in the prison population is obviously not an outcome any of us would want. It's just sort of the prioritization of it that I think is concerning for so many of us. Everyone's waiting in line for the same thing.
Absolutely. And, you know, I firmly believe that if someone is in prison who has a high-risk medical condition, look, they should get the vaccine as well. You know, and this is something I texted the governor's office on Saturday morning and have yet to get a response. I said, why is it that we don't have physicians who know their patients the best? Actually, let's set aside a supply of vaccine for those people that a physician will attest to and say, this person has such grave health concerns that they need to get the vaccine as quickly as possible. You know, we're talking about following the science and having medical experts lead us on this. Let's let doctors help make the triage decision instead of doing it in this kind of haphazard way that I think is currently happening at the moment.
Am I hearing you right? Are you saying that it would be okay to have the prison population that falls over 65 or goes in line with the regular population for the rules and restrictions, that they should be prioritized? It's just not the whole population.
Yeah,
what are you saying?
I'm saying that those people who are in prison should be treated the same as those people who are out of prison. If they have comorbidities, if they are at risk of, you know, grave health concerns because of COVID-19, treat them the same as people on the outside. But let's not take healthy prisoners and put them in line in front of people on the outside, law-abiding citizens who are forced to stay at home or have to expose themselves by going back and forth to the hospital, like I described with my wife's friend who has cancer. You know, let's get those people, make sure that they have access to the vaccine, right? There's a way to do this and do it right. There's a way of doing it that helps maximize saving people's lives. But unfortunately, the governor's current plan doesn't even provide an option for those people.
According to what I'm looking at here, the release from the governor's office, the prisoners would move up in the line according to this new prioritization, ahead of adults with heart conditions, COPD, kidney failure, and cancer. Also, phase two workers, like those who work at restaurants or gyms and factories, places like that, the prisoners would step in line as an entire population. What has been the governor's response, or I know he didn't respond to you directly, sounds like, after you reached out to him this weekend, but what has been the reasoning that you have learned about why he's doing it this way, if anything?
So I've not heard anything directly. The only thing that we know is when these guidelines first came out, prison inmates were not listed so highly. This came back a little over a month ago. And then there was quietly inserted into the final docket here in the last week, I think it was on the 8th, inmates were added in with no fanfare, with no reporting, anything whatsoever. I just happened to stumble upon it on accident on Saturday when, after a call with Dr. Ezeke in regards to mitigation efforts and vaccine rollout, I went back to look and see, well, what is the plan that's been finally approved, and just happened to notice it was there. You know, I mean, this is the type of thing, this is a big decision, and this is why I've been critical of the governor since the beginning, that he has done a go-it-alone approach in regards to COVID-19 mitigation and has not included the legislators as co-branch to help him make these very important decisions and make sure he's making decisions in the best possible way that he can.
Yeah, I'm looking here at some texts in support of what the governor is doing here. 847, prisoners are a ward of the state. They're locked in close confinement where COVID-19 cases are abundant. You and I can stay isolated until the vaccine's available. They cannot. What do you say about that? They're in a congregate living facility, and so they should be prioritized.
Well, and that's why I indicated that I believe we should be setting aside some vaccines for those people of whom their doctor says this person is at risk of death. I mean, I've mentioned a couple of times, you know, you have people who have someone who has cancer and they can't isolate at home. They have to go back and forth to the hospital in order to get chemo treatment, things of this sort. You know, these type of people, the doctor should be able to get them a vaccine faster than that. Than what is currently the case. I just don't understand why we're having this double standard.
I wonder if the governor will be asked about it today. We're certainly going to, you know, circle back on it if we hear anything more, any of the rationale behind it. It really just sort of struck me over the weekend when I happened to see something cross on it. I don't think it's widely publicized. Maybe you disagree. Maybe you've seen it in a lot of places. I know you're quoted in the article, and you had a lot of interesting things to say about it, but sort of didn't feel like it got all that much attention.
No, there's very few people that know about it. Again, I stumbled across it on accident on Saturday, and I think that people are just beginning to find out. And pretty much the people that I'm talking to and raising awareness about this are just outraged at the lack of any opportunity for those people under 65 who are at most risk of death from COVID-19 from having even the option of being able to get the vaccine they needed.
Yeah. Little City in Palatine cares for youth and adults with special needs. They have had patients and staff test positive. They were notified last week they would not be given their shots until the end of February. Interesting that you're seeing some facilities like that have difficulty getting them. Are you hearing of difficulties as this gets rolled out, the vaccine rollout?
Yeah, definitely there's difficulties in being able to get enough vaccine. I mean, look, if we had enough vaccine, this wouldn't be an issue. We rarely deal with this in the United States as far as not having enough supply to meet the demand in regards to healthcare. We have it in this case, which is causing difficult decisions to be made, which is why there needs to be a lot more people at the table than just the governor making this decision unilaterally on his own.
Yeah, when do you think teachers should be given it? I know we're all talking about trying to get that next wave of folks, essential people, the vaccine, so that we can start opening things up again. How do you see that happening? How do you see that rollout happening in terms of a timeline, Senator?
Well, I do think teachers should be prioritized. They are essential. There are so many people who can't be able to go to work. You know, they're trying to have a 5-year-old or 6-year-old, you know, trying to attend kindergarten on Zoom.
Doesn't work
very well, right?
No, it does not.
And so we definitely need to be getting kids back in school so people can be getting back to work. We just want to be able to do this in a balanced manner that doesn't leave our most sick and vulnerable behind.
I'll tell you, it just sounds very reasonable to me that your idea that you would roll it out within the prison population the same way you would at the population at large. I mean, it's something that would be worthy of discussion. It doesn't sound like those discussions are happening, though. It seems this is it. This is how it's going on. Is that right?
That's the way it has been to date. I hope that the governor, you know, begins to, you know, engage with the rest of us. I mean, look, there's a lot of people. Democracy works best when you have lots of people from different perspectives at the governing table, that, you know, again, this is something where I think that the governor needs to kind of widen his source of input, in order to be able to help us get through this as fast and as with as least amount of pain as possible.
Senator McConkie, I appreciate the time this afternoon. I hope you'll keep us posted on this issue. Tell us if you hear anything back from the governor's office.
Will do. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much.